Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome to the Talking Movies Pictures Movie
Hello.
Show. I'm Tim Goodings.
And my name is Andy Price. See any good movies this week, Tim?
We'll get into that. A great one that you've reviewed. Oh, I don't know if it's great yet. We'll see. But there's one thing I want to address before we get started.
What this podcast is?
Yep.
Okay, so this is a movies podcast. It's about movies, it's about films, it's about movies, and it's about films. And what we do is we talk about films, and you learn about films, and we all know about movies by the end of it, and that's fucking it, all right?
And we review it, and then you say, oh, wasn't it good? And if it was, then we say yes.
Okay, so I guess my explanation was not good.
Not enough. And then other stuff, like you always do Marvel news and always movie news, and then just something interesting as well, probably.
And Tim, can I ask you a question, please?
Yes.
What the fuck makes you qualified to talk about movies?
Well, I actually know movies, and I just found this old microphone just lying around, and it was sort of calling to me and said, do you want to turn this into liquid gold? Your response was, I assume, the same.
Well, no, not quite.
Oh, go on.
Oh, the microphone didn't call for me. I called for the microphone. Because unlike you, I have a qualification in movies.
What is it?
It's a BA in critiquing movies.
BA?
Yep.
Ons?
Oh, absolutely. And I got this qualification and then I called for the microphone. The microphone came.
Yeah.
And here we are.
And then it called me and here I am. And here you are, listener. Welcome.
It's kind of like we're a gang.
So first of all, there is something I want to address, Andy, and that is that some people have suggested, certainly since the last episode, that we might not be recording in the same locale anymore.
Go on.
Well, I don't know where this has come from.
Their arse?
Yeah. No, actually, yeah. It's come from their arse. Because they're saying that, maybe what's happened is that Andy's moved to London and Tim stayed in Bristol and they're actually recording remotely from two different places. And you can hear that in the poor audio quality. And
see, I don't think that's what they're asking, Tim.
Oh, okay.
What they're saying is, they're not saying, they're saying that Andy and Tim right now aren't holding hands. And I find that offensive, actually. I actually find that offensive.
Well, just in case, because I was worried that people were concerned that we were not in the same recording studio anymore, we should just do a couple of quick exercises to prove that we are in the same room.
Oh, that's an excellent idea, Tim.
Yeah,
well done.
Because we'll prove them wrong, and they'll be red-faced egg on the face that's red.
See, I don't know about you, Tim, because I don't know you that well, but I actually like proving people wrong. So
yeah, I love it.
I'm on board.
I like proving that I'm right.
I actually do.
Yeah. So,
like proving people wrong?
For example, let's just...
Sorry, don't interrupt me, Tim.
No, sorry.
Until I finish my thought.
Yeah.
The thing is that when people say that I'm wrong,
I
like proving them otherwise.
Okay. And you're done now?
Yes, go on.
That's not interrupting because I waited. So
absolutely not. Well done, Tim.
So now what... we'll just prove that we are in the same room. And Andy, how many fingers am I holding up?
You are holding up 7 fingers.
Let me just check. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, God, he's got it.
on one hand, and how would I know that you had seven fingers on one hand if I wasn't in the same room with you?
Yep, because I keep that a secret and I've never recorded it anywhere. And even
you keep
when
it all covered up in your seven finger gloves, so no one can tell.
Until now, even you didn't know, and you've just realised from seeing it now. So you're right, it was seven.
It's the first time you've let go of my hand underneath the table, and that's when I saw it.
And what a grip it is with all those fingers.
Goodness me, I just thought you were strong, Tim.
Well, I mean, you can see you can see me. I mean,
and you know, I actually like being proved wrong. So well done.
And what other thing do you want to do to prove them wrong?
This one's a very easy one to do. You get this right. There's no possible way that anyone can say we weren't in the same room together. My question to you is, which you wouldn't know if we weren't in the same city, if we weren't 120 miles apart, which is ridiculous, what did I have for dinner last night?
Well, because I'm in the room with you, I obviously know that, which is to say the pasta smears around your sort of eyes suggest to me that it was pasta and the tomato.
What kind of pasta?
Penne.
It was penne.
It was penne, and some of that's, some of that's in
and
your
you
hair
have known
still.
That.
And nor would I, nor could I have guessed it, made it up, and if I'd have been wrong, you would have said.
And why would you want to?
And here's another proof. Look, what's this, Andy? Yep, it's a copy of today's newspaper, dated today, which is the
today's date,
the something of July, which is today, and that's now. And have a look. And what does the headline say?
It says man lands on the moon.
Yeah.
And one more proof. What does, I mean, Tim, you know, because you're in the same room as me, but I actually have a tattoo, and I it's in Chinese writing. So what I'd like you to tell the listeners is what it says. And you could only know that if you're in the same room as me.
Yeah. Chinese writing. It is the Chinese symbol for Chinese.
Correct.
It means...
if I just pull my pants up.
Yep.
And that's better for everyone.
Right, so it means Chinese in Chinese, and that's how you know that it is, because if you could read it, then you know that that's what it says.
And if that's proof, I don't know what isn't.
And that's put to bed, snuggled up, tucked away, read a story, patted on the bum, and turned the light off. We can move on to...
Marvel News!
That's the theme tune. So, unfortunately... because of Marvel News this week is a bit of a struggle.
Tim, could you just quickly, before you start this, you explain to the listener what exactly Marvel News is and why we do it?
So news comes from the old acronym Northeast West South, which is obviously how you say all the compass directions, and it's like, oh, it's what's happening everywhere.
News is everywhere.
News is everywhere. Marvel.
Compass is everywhere.
Marvel is the name of a movie studio, formerly a comics place, still, actually. And it makes movies, and so many that it's enough
to
fill up a segment every episode.
Could you just explain for the listeners that are unaware what comics is?
Comics is pictorial storytelling with words next to or in it, next to the other picture, in paper, monthly, superheroes.
And Tim, could you explain to the listener that's unaware what a superhero is?
That has so far passed me by, unfortunately, and that's why I'm so invested in Marvel News and what it means, because I just want to uncover that secret.
And that's Marvel News.
That's well, okay.
Marvel News.
Okay, great. Moving on. What have we got? What's our next segment? So this
movie
is
news.
Our next news. Regular segment is Movie News. Play the theme tune.
Movie news.
And time for movie news. Andy, what you got for me?
I actually don't have any movie news this week, Tim. It's not that there wasn't any movie news.
That's right. It's not that, because there was.
It's not that. And I've just kind of lost my enthusiasm for movie news, I think. Because I was lying in bed the other day. Oh. I just had an ice cream.
Yeah.
And I really felt pretty good about my life.
Yeah.
And you know when you, like, it always seems to happen when you're feeling really good. I was feeling very relaxed. I was in a jacuzzi. Had to eat my ice cream quick, obviously. And I was feeling very content. But then those, you know, those dark thoughts just kind of jump into your brain. And one of them did.
Yeah.
And it said to me, what if, what if movies aren't even real? You know?
Would that also extend to Marvel ones?
I have no idea. I didn't ask the thought, but
yeah,
you know what? Like,
movies.
Once I thought about it, I was like, I'm not real. Like, if movies aren't real, why am I even alive?
Why are you even doing this?
And if movies aren't real, then is news even real?
Is news real? And is a news real?
Is it news real even?
What about a movie real?
Is that even news?
Is that even news?
I sat in the jacuzzi, and I just said to the middle aged old fat balding white guy in the corner. Oh,
yeah, oh, this is a public jacuzzi. It's not your own jacuzzi.
I'm done. Oh, Tim, I can't afford a jacuzzi. I live in London now. So
sorry, you live in London. No,
sorry. There's Bristol's banned jacuzzis. But I said to him, "It's all yours, mate. I'm done."
Mm-hmm.
And
did you give him your ice cream? Give him your ice cream?
No, the ice cream was done.
You ate it, or you just dunked it in the water?
In many ways, does it even matter anymore?
That's
if movies aren't real, is ice cream even real?
So true. That's movie news, is it?
And that's movie news.
That's movie news. Up next, it's time for a new feature, glossary. This is where we explain some well-known.
Tim, can
enough.
I just stop you there, please?
Yep. Oh God!
I was under the understanding that there would be some kind of theme tune to this segment.
Jesus Christ, you're right. Glossary. This is a segment where we explain some terms, movie terms in the industry to get you so that you know it.
Because the thing about this podcast is that it's not just about what movies are coming out. It's not about learning what's movies. It's not about learning what
and
movies
isn't it,
is good.
And isn't it shit
and
when people think that?
It's about learning how to make movies.
And isn't it shit when they think it's just that?
We have a certain audience that are like, I like watching movies, but we have another certain audience that's like, I like making movies, actually. And this podcast caters to both of them.
Really,
so this is for the second group of those.
So if you
like watching movies, fuck off right now, would you, actually? Because this isn't for you.
Get back in your hole. Glossary time. And what's our term this episode, Andy?
Hitting your mark.
Hitting your mark, which is when
Everyone's heard it. No one knows what it means.
No one knows what it means. And here
and
we
how
are.
How are you
going to
be movies if you don't know what it means?
How? So, let's explain. You're on a movie set. Cameras turn on. They face.
And if you don't know what a movie set is, we'll deal with
that
next
week. Another episode. Yeah,
the camera's
on. You know your line. You got to say.
If you don't know what a line is, we'll deal with that in the next episode.
You get your cue, and if you don't know what a cue is. And they say, okay.
And if you don't know what "and" means,
okay. And they say, now when you say your line, you're going to stand in this place. And you have to punch this gentleman here. And he is just an actor, but make sure that you stand in the right place when you punch him. Mm. And you have to say the line, they say action, and you walk up and you have to stand in the right place. They put a bit of tape on the floor. And then when you hit him, the man that you're hitting is called Mark. And so you walk up and there's some tape on the floor, but that's really irrelevant. Let's just say you know where to stand.
Irrelevant.
And then you just want to punch Mark right square in the head. And don't worry, he is a stuntman, so he can just take a full punch. No stunt coordination or fight training required. Just punch him full in the face. Hit your mark, as they say. He's always called
and
Mark.
This is the point where some people get confused because sometimes they hit him in the cock and balls and that is actually wrong because that's actually hitting him in his mark. That's a different thing. That's a different technique that we'll go into in another episode. Don't hit his mark.
That's hitting Mark's mark and that is a different technique, but it is very useful in an actor's arsenal. So yeah, hit him full in the face. Hopefully he'll bleed. You'll get a great take. And just ignore that bit of tape on the floor. It doesn't really
matter.
I mean,
if you really hit him hard enough, then the visual effects department they'll love you on set because essentially you're creating these real effects, this real feeling of blood, especially on a horror movie. It's a very good practice to really, you know, kind of work out before the shoot because if you can hit him hard enough, then the visual effects team can take a day off and you know what? They might buy you a beer afterwards.
Yeah, what do you think costs more? Broken nose surgery or CGI effects of a punch?
Or everlasting friendship?
That's hitting your mark. That's the glossary.
Up next, this week I went to watch a movie, and I'm going to review this movie because it is, you know what it is, Tim?
A movie.
It's only our movie of the bloody week.
A movie of the week. In the meantime, can I just request humbly, don't... Oh, crikey. Oh. Can you tell him, Andy?
Yeah, okay. So at this point in the podcast, this is a very important part where you're simply, it's not that you're not allowed to, but we just really kind of encourage you not to. Just don't, actually.
Touch the dial.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
And welcome back. This is the Talking Movies, Pictures, Movies Show. It's time for Movie of the Week. Andy, you saw a movie this week, and it was the one of the week, which is this week, of the two that
actually, Tim,
take place.
You just interrupted me there.
Yep.
I just wanted to say, welcome back. We are back and we're going to do a review of the Movie of the Week right now, and I'm going to review that. Sorry, Tim, what were you saying?
Oh, sorry. Can I just for a second, Andy? I just wanted to let the listener know really quick before we go into this. This is actually the part where it's the Movie of the Week, and you've seen a movie, and you're reviewing it now, and we're going to listen to that review. What was I doing that I couldn't come?
So, do you remember last week that you, or last episode, where you went to see a movie yourself and I couldn't come along, and that's why you had to review the movie? Do you remember what I was busy with?
Oh, was it seeing a movie?
No, it wasn't. You were seeing the movie. I was actually very busy having a hysterectomy.
Oh, that's right. You were having your hysterectomy.
So you couldn't make this one because you called me up and you're like, hello, Andy. And I was like, hello, Tim, because that's how we speak to each other, because we have lots of mutual respect. And you called me up and you're like, Andy, I can't come to the movie today. I was like, well, that's absolutely fine. I missed it last time. You can miss this time. Like, I was like, is everything all right? Is everything going on? Well, what's happening? And you're like, Andy, I can't. I'm having a hysterectomy. So what I can only imagine is that you saw how much pleasure I got out of it. And you were like, think, get me a piece of that.
I see what's happened. You think that I've just jumped onto the bandwagon of your surgery. And then I'm like, everyone's getting hysterectomies now. I've got to do it. Well, that's not true.
It did kind of seem that it came very soon after I got one.
That's a coincidence because we're so close to each other. Recording.
Or am I a trailblazer?
Listen, we're recording in the same room all
and
the time.
And you're a trail follower.
We're practically synchronized, and that's why we both had to have the same operation on parts.
Well, we synchronized our hysterectomies. There's nothing wrong
essentially,
with that.
Essentially, and that's not my
that.
Fault.
It's completely natural.
What was the movie?
Oh, it was bloody great, actually. Yeah? I've never seen a movie like this before.
Oh, how did you see it?
Not only with my eyes, but with my ears.
You saw it with your ears?
Okay, yeah, because I'm very used to actually watching movies with the sound off and with subtitles on.
So it was a loud
movie.
Because
the thing is, like, this podcast, as great as it is... As great as this podcast is, it's not quite got the levity of like Komodo Mare or the other ones. So a lot of the time they'll put us in screenings with deaf people just to fill up the numbers. And so I'm very used to watching it just with my eyes.
Did this film reward listening to?
Well, absolutely, because the thing about this film was, it was just like nothing I've ever seen before.
Okay, do I just describe the first as an opening?
Okay, so this movie started.
Hold on. You're sat in the cinema. You got your delicious popcorn. You got your pad of paper, your pen out. You're like, I'm going to write some notes. The lights come down, and they accidentally turn off the emergency exit light, and you say, whoa, hang on.
I panicked. And then the movie started.
And how was that?
So it opens up. The thing here, Tim, is that I've yet to got out a full sentence. So you can reserve your questions for just a little bit longer.
Just a second. Okay.
So.
Opens up.
The film opens up. Any questions?
Nope, not yet. Off you go.
Okay, good. So a guy walks into a bar. And then another guy walks into a bar. And then, okay, and get this, because I didn't see this coming. A third man walked into the bar.
The third man, yep.
And you know what happens when you go into a bar? You have these kind of conversations. You go, oh, hey, other man in a bar. Mm-hmm. There's also on his own. That's not weird. What do you do for a living? And I find that that happens quite a lot. I don't know if you've been asked before, but I've like people will come up to me when I'm on my own in a bar, which isn't weird. And constantly, they'll go, Andy, what do you do? And I go, I'm a podcast critics.
Yeah, I have a similar experience where I go into a bar and they're a long time drinking and they say, do you have a job? Which is a similar sort of thing. Is they're essentially asking what I do.
It's very similar.
Yeah.
It's very similar. So this one guy asks the other guy, and the other guy goes, oh, I'm a priest.
Yeah. Of what faith? Catholic?
Catholic, yep.
Yep.
And the Catholic priest goes, oh, yeah, and what do you do? It's only polite. So he asks the other man. And the other man goes, I'm actually a rabbi. And they go, this is a bit awkward.
Because it's
like
different.
Kind of one of those very kind of like, you know, it's like an independent film, isn't it? It's very much a kind of a mumblecore sensibility, and that maybe we should go on a road trip and try and reclaim a chair that's very important to our family, but they don't because it's, you know, that's been done. And the third man was like, guys, can you stop mumbling for a second and ask what I do?
Oh, he asks them to ask him.
And you never guess what he does.
No, you're right. I probably won't.
No. He atheists.
And is he a good one? He's a top one. Like an important one.
Oh, God. He's the head of the atheist faith.
Dawkins?
It's not Dawkins, no.
Okay, okay. No, but he's the head of the atheist faith.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
Chief atheist.
He has a name, but no one really believes him.
He's very sceptical that even his name, he doesn't take that on faith even, because he's never seen his birth certificate, so it's just...
Absolutely. But then the bartender is like, oh, hello, lads. What can I get you to drink?
Yeah.
And like the priest just like points him and goes, no. 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 And I was like, oh.
Because
like, at this point, the shot's like a POV. And you're like, who is he? What is he? What's he looking at? And the kind of like switches to the other side of the shot.
Yeah.
And you see who this guy is. And you know who it is?
No, I don't. I didn't see the film, Andy. I was off getting a hysterectomy.
It's only bloody Buddha.
The barman's Buddha?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he goes, what can I get you, lads? And the Catholic priest is like,
Budweiser?
Jager bomb, obviously.
Oh, okay. Right.
And the rabbi is like...
Budweiser?
A Heineken.
Okay.
Obviously.
Okay, I'll try again.
And the atheist has nothing because he doesn't believe in drinking.
Yep. Okay.
And then the priest goes, and one for yourself. So then the Buddha was like, I've had 7 shots of vodka today, so I won't have one. But I will pass on that drink, that kind offering, to my friend at the end of the bar here, the Prophet Muhammad. And he, as we all know, drinks...
Had a tequila slammer.
Tequila slammer, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And this is difficult, right? Because at this point, the camera's fully on these 4 guys, right, that we've already been introduced to. And I'm aware, I'm culturally, religiously, and the other ones aware of the Prophet Muhammad and how... You can't show him.
Can't show him.
Tim, you can't even show him.
Can't even show him.
Like, and I thought because now that it's the 21st century, you'd be able to, but you can't even show him.
Even hidden camera shows, you know, even if it was even framed, he couldn't send in and get 250 quid.
If this was a found footage movie, then they could show him, but it's not, so they can't.
Oh, it's
if
not.
They just found it, you're like, well, I didn't take it.
I didn't make it, I just found it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's fine. And everyone's fine. In fact, they like it. They prefer that if that happens, because they're like, we never get to see him, so this is actually
good. We know what it looks like.
So I was like, how are they going to do it? And they actually found a way round showing the Prophet Muhammad.
Yeah, they did.
By having someone portray him who is just a very good actor that takes lots of risks. And just like you almost like they're so good at playing characters that aren't them that they're actually you forget that it's the Prophet Muhammad because they're so natural.
Oh, so they're such a good actor that you forget that they're
that you
playing
forget
the character.
That it's actually the Prophet Muhammad,
and you just see it as the actor, is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, exactly.
That's how good they are.
Yeah.
Is they steal, they're so recognisable as an actor that you're just like, oh, well, it's them, it's not the Prophet Muhammad, it's just that.
Exactly,
that
but because you recognise them so much as the actor, it's not weird because you're like, well, this is a film and they're an actor, so it makes sense that they're in this film.
Of course
so
they're in the film.
Not only forget that the character is the Prophet Muhammad, you forget that you're not supposed to recognise that actors are in films.
What is the actor? Who
Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, it is Scarlett. So she plays the Prophet Muhammad, but you sort of realise, oh no, it is her. Like, it's not actually the
exactly.
Prophet.
And do you know what else I realised about halfway? Well, maybe at the end of Act 1, so about like a good 25 minutes into the film.
No,
I realised that the rabbi was also played by Scarlett Johansson.
Does Scarlett Johansson do a voice for any of these characters?
Well, this is the thing, right? So she's so good at their accents that you forget that they're supposed to be an accent, and you just go, well, that's just Scarlett Johansson talking.
That's just her voice.
Her normal
that's
voice.
Just how she speaks.
It becomes so like, natural that you actually go, well, that's just Scarlett Johansson playing
that's just her.
The Dalai
Not
Lama,
even trying,
who obviously turns up in the second act.
Right, to deliver the bit,
Well, absolutely, because someone's got to, because they're sat in this bloody bar for about 45 minutes before anyone gets them their drinks. It's insane.
So what's the general, thrust of the movie? They're all just sat around shooting the shit. Are they debating their different faiths, or are they just, is it meant to be like, hey, they're just real people?
Well, this is the thing, because that's how I thought it should pan out, because that'd be quite a nice way to kind of, like
solve the troubles, solve the problems of the Middle East, maybe even.
That's it, right? That's what I was hoping would happen from this film, because all good films solve troubles in the Middle East. I heard someone that I was with in the cinema kind of describe it.
Whoa,
as
hold on. Yep. Who were you with?
No, just like one of the other critics critiquing the film. And I thought, and I heard him describe it as probably the closest thing we have to the sequel to Fight Club. Like, closer still than the actual sequel to Fight Club.
Right, the actual graphic novel
sequel
that was written,
He was it's more like it than that.
In the sense that the imagined characters, are they?
In a sense that...
they all start fighting?
No, in a sense that Brad Pitt's in it.
Oh, so it's not all ScarJo's. It's one.
Oh,
Brad
God,
Pitt.
No. Can you imagine how distracting that would be? I mean, my suspension of disbelief only goes so far, Tim.
Yeah, that would be mental she was playing different races and stuff. So you've got ScarJo, you've got Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt, who's Brad Pitt? Is he Dalai Lama?
Brad Pitt plays a transgendered man.
Okay, at last.
Yeah, finally.
Showing
we all
his
wanted
range.
To see it.
Finally, showing his range. Yeah.
Exactly.
Good. That's what, that's what I've been waiting for.
Yeah, absolutely. And he kind of comes in and he's basically the referee of all the fights.
Does it come up that he's transgender, or it's just...
Oh, no, I just assumed.
Because that's the only thing he hasn't done yet in his career. And you think, well, about time, innit?
Well, he's not going to go on and play another bloody man again, is he?
Nah, that's been done.
Last five films in a row, he was a man.
At least.
Yeah.
If
but he's not going to—he's not going to do a full-on departure. He's not going to play a woman or something, maniacal like that.
No, he's not ScarJo. Just playing women all the fucking time.
Well, exactly. It's disgusting.
All right. So he's the referee. They all start fighting. What are the rules of the club of the fights that they're doing?
So it's all fist-based.
Yeah.
Not allowed to use your words.
Fist only. No. Okay.
Exactly. And this is where the film kind of took on a kind of improvised tone to it, because they weren't speaking anymore. And when they aren't using words, I assume they're improvising, because you can't just make up words.
No, you can't write down non-words in
the script. Exactly. How are you supposed to do that?
And what were they saying? Ow.
Oh, look at me, I'm going to write down no words without my pen on no paper. Yeah, well done. So, obviously, this is all the first scene.
Yeah. Oh, that's obvious.
Yeah. And then they kind of, like, they have their fights.
Yeah,
and,
they have a... Yeah.
And...
fists like, only.
Everyone's like, so, what's the winner? And that's kind of what we're kind of moving towards. The inciting incident
is... What's it is, at stake here, Andy? Is it that they become the dominant religion of the world? Or they just want to...
That's kind of the main theme of the film, is that they're bringing all these religions together, all played by Scarlett Johansson, just to put it all on a kind of even keel. And what they're saying is that it's not about the visual perception of these religions and the way that people interact with them visually, because visually they're all the same. What it is about which one is best stronger than the other one
in a fight. Yeah. Fists only.
Yeah.
So that's the inciting incident, is the fight, and then is the rest of the film is like...
No,
of course not.
The inciting incident is when the Buddha says he's going to have a Sambuca.
Oh, and that, you know, then he's spoiling for a fight, and he just gets all... Well,
yeah, because the thing about Sambuca is that it's effectively a war cry. And if you drink a shot of Sambuca, you're basically saying, let's go to war.
Yes.
And that's when the kind of war starts between the religions. But you can't just go straight into a war. You can't just suddenly have all Muslims fighting all Hindus. You can't do that. There's not enough extras on, you know, in the union.
On the film.
Exactly. Right. So you can't physically get them together. Okay. So you have to start like an underground movement. And what's more underground than Fight Club?
Mines.
And moles, but other than that, third place is Fight Club.
Yes.
And so they start a Fight Club.
They start a Fight Club as that's, and is that they have a fight and then they say, now this is Fight Club, or that was already a Fight Club?
So it was, it wasn't a Fight Club, and it was like the Prophet Muhammad that just kind of went, this is now Fight Club, and that's how you knew it was Fight Club.
Because he said, this is Fight Club.
This is Fight Club. And then everyone went, well, I guess this is this Fight is now Club Fight now. Club. This is Fight Club. This is 100% Fight Club. And so they start kind of drawing up who, you know, like round one. So round
who
one
fights?
Is Church of England versus versus Scientology.
Oh, they get a look in, do they?
Oh, of course they do. And do you know who plays Tom Cruise in this movie?
Is it Scarlett Johansson?
No, it's Edward Norton. But close.
Ed Norton.
It's Ed Norton.
Okay, so the person representing Scientology is Tom Cruise and not L. Ron Hubbard.
Exactly, yeah, because he's dead.
Right, whereas Buddha...
is not.
And Muhammad...
Well, no, because they're gods. They'll never die.
Right, Buddha's a god, yeah.
Yeah, and L. Ron Hubbard, as we all know, was just a milkman or something. I can't remember. But... So Christianity fights Scientology, and you'll never guess who won.
No, you're right. I think you're right. I won't guess.
Okay, so they start fighting, and they're like punching each other, and they're like kicking, and they're going for it. And like Edward Norton's got a broken nose. Scarlett Johansson, who's obviously playing Henry VIII, kind of gets punched in the stomach, and they both kind of like you were worn out. This has gone a full 10 rounds. Like every single fight goes a full 10 rounds. It's like it's like a 5-hour long film, and they're just fighting and they're fighting and they're fighting, and then it like switches to like the corner of the ring, and like Rocky's there just
so it's like a proper ring, and there's boxing, and there's an audience. Is there an audience gathered around?
Well, the thing is about this film, Tim, is that it's very much like an underdog story, and so they kind of start off fighting this fight club in this underground bar, but then eventually they kind of, as the fights go on, they kind of like the stature of the rings gets bigger, and eventually the final fight is in Vegas.
Just to clarify, the underdog is the Fight Club itself.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah, so it, you're like,
so the Fight Club's first fight is underground in a basement in a bar, and the Fight Club's final fight is in Las Vegas.
Right, so in a way, it's fighting against the fighting industry because it's the underdog of the fights.
Exactly. In many ways, the religious part of this film is almost irrelevant.
So, is the final fight of this film that all of the fights that they've had now have to do fights against a big sort of faceless corporation of fights to see who's the best at fighting?
No.
Fights?
No, okay. No, no.
Forgive me, I didn't see the film, so
So the first fight. Let me talk you through the fights, and then you can come back to your weird little theory.
So
the first fight: Church of England, Scientology, Henry VIII versus Edward Norton.
He's obviously a god, so he's still alive. Yep.
And they fight for a full 10 rounds, and then eventually they kind of come together, and they both like pull back their right arm, and they like fucking just like swing for each other, and they both hit each other at the same time, and they both collapse, and it's a double knockout.
Right, so they both win.
So the answer to the question, which one's better out of Christianity and Scientology? The answer is neither.
Fights. Oh, okay.
It's neither.
It's neither, right.
So they go, all right, well, let's move on. Let's move on to the next fight. And we've got...
And do they?
They do. And okay. So we've got Hinduism.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got Catholicism.
And who's in the ring for those two?
So,
Ganesh.
We got the Pope.
And Ganesh or?
Ganesh.
Ganesh, right. So, big elephant.
Yep.
With lots of arms. Who's playing Ganesh, Andy?
Scarlett Johansson.
Of course.
And so, you haven't been paying attention. The Pope is played by Jude Law.
Oh, young Pope. But is he playing young Pope or is he playing current?
Well, yeah, because this movie's set in the 1940s, so he's very young.
I'm sorry, that should have been obvious to me. Okay, set in the 1940s, although Tom Cruise is a character in it.
The thing is, Tim, as I said earlier, this is an underdog story, and an underdog story doesn't pass in 12 months. It doesn't pass in a week. Like, an underdog story lasts a long time if they're truly an underdog. And the thing is, this movie starts in the 1940s. I may have told you the order of the fights in a non-linear way.
Oh, so but that was the first fight. It's not the first to take place.
Exactly. So the second round that happens between Catholicism and Hinduism happens in the 1940s. But the first round featuring Scientology and the Church of England... actually happens in the 21st century, despite Henry VIII being part of the fight. But there's a certain time travel element to this. It's a bit of a sci-fi story. So these fights, this fight club, is very visceral. And the fights happen over the course of numerous centuries.
It almost seems different unnecessary both a time travel element to it and that it takes place over many hundreds of years when you can one or the other. Well, because I think that you could have the young Pope fighting now but with the time travel element that Henry VIII has used.
Well, I think, Tim, if I point you back to what I said about each fight going 10 rounds, the reason they had to have both those elements, the time travel and the fights going on over centuries, was because, for a start, they literally did last centuries because they went the full 10 rounds. But also, as filmmakers, they had to kind of pull in different elements of filmmaking to maintain the interest of the audience. Like, everything that happens in a film is designed to maintain the interest of the audience. And without these elements, the audience just wouldn't be interested in a movie like this.
Okay. So, what's the third fight with?
The third fight is Rocky Balboa versus Apollo Creed.
Okay, and what religions are they representing?
So, if I point you back to what I was just saying about how different elements have to come in to kind of keep a movie interesting when the primary theme is so dense
fights
that it gets boring. So they bring in Rocky and Apollo Creed. And in
many ways, aware that it could
in
get
many
boring.
Ways, this is the seventh Rocky sequel that's actually set a year prior to the first Rocky film.
Okay. In which ways?
In the ways that Apollo Creed died at the end of the second Rocky, or the third one.
Yeah.
So it had to happen before.
Really, yeah. But definitely
unless
film,
they put
him
in a time machine. I don't know. They didn't confirm the date of the fight. It may have happened earlier and they just brought a young Apollo Creed forward in the time machine to...
Mm. Well, you can't just throw a time machine into a film. It wouldn't make sense.
Well, this is the interesting thing because Sylvester Stallone was 70 years old in the fight and Apollo Creed was clearly a sprightly young 25-year-old man. So I'm not sure whether they brought Sylvester Stallone back from the future or Apollo Creed forward from the past or somewhere in the middle.
Okay. Great.
So and they start fighting, and they're going at it, and they're going the full 10 rounds, and Rocky's, he's used to it, you know, Rocky's barely breaking a sweat, apart from every single part of him is sweating, and Apollo Creed's, like, throwing a fight, and he's doing his little dance, and he's mocking him, and Rocky's like, oh, I'm gonna teach him, he does a little dance, and they're gonna teach him a lesson, and they both kind of, like, pull their right arms back to go and hit each other, and they just kind of fucking swing it forward, and they both kind of hit each other at the same time, and they both fall to the floor.
Yeah, okay.
And it's a double knockout. And you know who really won that fight?
Films or fights.
No. Scarlett Johansson won that fight.
Scarlett Johansson.
Because she played both
those
characters.
I don't think I asked. Yes. Oh, okay. So although you said Sylvester Stallone, you actually meant Rocky.
Oh, no. The actor Sylvester Stallone was playing the character of Rocky, but Scarlett Johansson was playing the actor Sylvester Stallone.
And the guy that plays Apollo Creed.
Yeah.
Which is?
Carl Weathers,
exactly. Yeah. And so she played him. And did we get the outcome of the second fight? Remind me, you want to give Ganesh and...
So I'll tell you what happened. They were fighting and they were going the full 10 rounds. And like Jude Law was like, he was wearing his full get up. He was just sweating, like his little hat fell off. It, well, if anything, it wilted, I guess, because it was just like waterlogged with the sweat. And he kind of like the elephant's doing okay. He's used to the heat, but he's, you know, he's worn out because he's a big guy. You know, he's topping 500 pounds. And there's this point, I guess, the end of the 10th round and they were both, you know, they got one hit left in them, and the Pope kind of brings back his weird little staff that he carries around, and Jude Law, because he's a young Pope, he's got a cigarette in his mouth, and you think, well, that's going to come back later, isn't it? And and he pulls back his little staff,
yeah,
and the elephant pulls back its little trunk, which is actually quite a big trunk, and they both kind of like swing him forward, and
so
then,
he doesn't try to punch with one of its six arms.
Oh no.
It goes to punch with its trunk.
No. Okay, so what I probably should have told you about this fight is that he actually had four of his arms tied behind his back just to keep it fair.
Okay, great.
And he pulls back one of his trunks and they both kind of like slap each other in the face at the same time. One with a staff,
one of his trunks.
With the elephant trunk. And they both fall to the ground. And actually, the interesting thing about this fight, because like, there's a subtle difference between every single fight. Something is very slightly different each
and
time.
The participants.
Well, something more subtle than that.
The camera angle.
No, so in this one, they both die. And
okay.
And then very quickly, it kind of cuts to the fight between Rocky and Apollo Creed. And you do that fight, and then it kind of like...
Double knockout.
At the end, it double knocks out. And as Rocky and Apollo Creed are hit, it kind of like... It feels like you've been hit as an audience because the footage wobbles a bit. It goes a bit like blurry. It's like someone's rubbed Vaseline on the lines. And you're like, oh, what's going on? I feel a bit disorientated. And then it kind of like wobbles and cuts back to the last fight. And you're like, what happened? Have I gone back in time again? And you kind of see the fight again. And there's just like... a weird kind of rupture at the back of the ring, and you're like, what's going on? And you realize that these two massive figures of religion have died, and without them the world is physically and emotionally
sick.
Falling apart.
Oh wow. So okay, and is that the point?
So this is what I was thinking as well, because I didn't really see a point in this movie.
What is the fucking point?
And there was some parts in it, and like that's basically the last scene of the movie, right? And I was left thinking, what was the point?
Right, so there's three fights.
So I'm wondering if you can help me figure out the point to this, because I was like, I kind of feel that, you know, the Muslims haven't had a look in here, and I was like, well, is that too much of a hot potato to talk
Buddha's
about
not
in
had a
this
look in.
Context? And they've just kind of ignored them and pretended they don't exist.
Yeah.
Or were they making a statement that maybe we can never win against the Muslims? So why even bother? Especially when all of them are portrayed by Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah. What's the point of even trying?
And in many ways, isn't the point that we are all the same? Aren't we all Scarlett Johansson?
Well, in this film, certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless apart you're Jude Law.
Apart from Jude Law and Edward Norton, who plays Brad Pitt. No, Tom Cruise.
Yeah, Brad Pitt plays himself. Because no one else can play Brad Pitt. This is an interesting thing. I was reading about this film and I read that Scarlett Johansson actually originally auditioned for the role of Brad Pitt. But then they were like, you can't pull it off. But we'll tell you what you can pull off. Everyone else in this film, apart from Edward Norton playing Tom Cruise.
Yeah, okay, good. So the world ruptures, pulls apart because there's too many religions fighting, and you realise, oh, I couldn't do without them.
Couldn't even.
Ganesh come back?
Yeah, but this is the thing. They come back and you're like, well, that's a happy ending. They've come back. They've come back alive. They didn't die in this fight. But as a result of this anomaly in space-time, the world does fall apart. And the final scene of the movie, that's kind of the climax. The world falls apart. And then as it kind of like fades to black, it fades up in white again. And and we're kind of like, we're in a garden and there's birds singing. And then Eden? These people kind of walk Eden, into the frame. And you're like, oh my God, they all look the same. They are all Scarlett Johansson. And this is a better world. Now that all religion has gone, we're just in a world full of Scarlett Johansson. And they're kind of like, all the Scarlett Johansons are kind of hugging and kissing and fucking. And they kind of like, it was amazing really, because you kind of saw all these Scarlett Johansons in one place. And you saw what the world was like if everyone was the same and how beautiful it would be. And maybe we should consider everyone to be the same and we should all be together and love each other and just, you know, all this. And I felt these positive feelings. And then I kind of just went, oh no, I get it. I know what they're saying here. They're saying the world would be better if everyone was the same, if everyone was white.
Scarlett Johansson. Oh, is she definitely white?
Well, all these characters in this scene at the end are Scarlett Johansson. It's not Scarlett Johansson playing anyone. They're just all Scarlett Johansson. They're all white Scarlett Johansons.
But she can be any race, Andy. I mean, we've seen that from Ghost in the Shell.
I know that's the case. And earlier in the film, she was playing everyone.
Yeah.
But at this moment in time,
scene, it is just her.
I mean, what you're doing here, Tim, is arguing against a movie I've seen and you haven't. What I'm saying is, they're all white.
I'm playing. Look,
and the movie is saying. Okay? The movie's saying that wouldn't this all be better if we were all white? That's what I got from it.
And you agree, yeah?
Oh yeah, five stars.
Who made it?
Scarlett Johansson.
Okay, and who wrote it?
Scarlett Johansson.
What's the film called?
Fight Club 2. Cruise Control.
Because
Tom Cruise is in it.
Isn't it?
This is probably the closest thing we'd get to a Speed 3.
Because
Keanu Reeves has a cameo in it.
Has a cameo. Yeah. As
the post-credits scene.
As the post-credits scene.
Yeah. Post-credits scene was probably the closest we'll get to a John Wick 4.
Okay. But the film itself was the closest thing we'll get to a Speed 3. But that post-credits scene is the closest thing you get to a John Wick 4.
Exactly. Five stars? Five stars.
Because they're all white people, yeah.
Well, exactly. And I figure that this film is... I watch movies to be educated, and I feel like that's what I've been educated to believe. Everyone in this film had to be white.
Yeah, and that's better, isn't it?
And that's movies.
Thanks for the film, Fight Club 2 Cruise Control.
Yep.
And we'll be back in a couple of weeks to review another film of the week, whatever that turns out to be, and more besides. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye. Tim.
What?
So, I just wanted to talk a little bit about John Wick 4, because I'm not sure if I really understood what happened in it.
Oh, is this the post-credits scene from the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's got Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves.
And the weird thing about this was that he doesn't have any lines in this.
In John Wick 4?
Yeah, because he's dead. Right.
in the film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like the post credit scene is that basically like the screen fades up and Keanu Reeves is just there as a corpse, and standing over him is a dog.
Yeah, is it his dog?
And it's the ultimate portrayal is that he's been killed by his dog. After all that.
And that he's been killed by the dog. The dog's not going to avenge his death now.
Exactly. No, the dog just then has a heart attack and dies himself. And the kind of the message I got there kind of shaped, changed my thoughts about the entire movie in a way. It just said that.
Yeah.
Even if you are a good person, look out for people and protect people, a dog could still kill you.
Yeah.
And why even religion?
You know, if that.
When a dog could kill you. And is that religion?
Just, is that? Because it's God backwards. So, that's something.
Bye!
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.